Welcome to the Lacrosse Show on AM 1230, Fox Sports Radio. It's powered by the Ohio Machine, Oil Up Columbus, and Midwest Lacrosse. And now your hosts, Coach Billy Taylor and Sean Ryan.
Good Saturday morning. It's a lacrosse morning. Me and the boys, we're in here today again just talking lacrosse and having a good time in studio, whatever number this is. But we're just going to have some fun today. Sean, how are you, man?
Doing well, Coach. Doing well. God, what a great game we had yesterday with Denver and North Carolina coming right down to the final 3 minutes. I think it's one of those things Coach Tierney saying to himself, I had one timeout left, and you know, when North Carolina went on that run, maybe should have used it, but what a great game. What a great game.
No doubt about it. You know, looking at Joe Bresci over on the sideline, channeling his inner CG with the beard going and the and the hat. I mean, you know, Joe's an outstanding guy, and you know, he's a good coach, and he's a better guy, and I was kind of happy to see North Carolina get the win, but I don't know. It just goes to show you, preseason rankings, you can toss them out the window when you get out there on the field, right?
Well, I think it's one of those things, too. I mean, the weather, yeah. that's the big thing. I mean, when it takes 20 hours for a team to travel from Denver, Colorado to Chapel Hill, North Carolina, I mean, that's one of those things that, you know, you hear the term bus legs, and I think that's one of the things that kind of played into it a little bit. Obviously, another thing, too, was the dimensions of the field. It wasn't your traditional looking at it. The 50-yard line is the center field. It was on the 45 because the Carolina grounds crew, they had to quickly figure out what they were going to do and plow a football practice field, and stadium seating was very limited. But the game itself, I thought, was, you know, two different style of teams. I mean, first you had Denver doing what they do best, finishing around, dunk shots around the net, and then North Carolina, you know, we've been waiting for a long time to see those guys step up, rise up to the occasion, and they went on a great run. I was very impressed with, you know, just the ball movement from both teams, the unselfish plays, the one more passes, and there were a lot of highlight film, highlight reel type plays. You know, you had a couple goalies stand on their head when it counted. Carolina is doing the two goalie rotation that seemed to work out well for them, and you know, it's just kind of leading into a big weekend of lacrosse. I mean, today we have Hopkins and Princeton, which is always a classic matchup between two teams that are always up there, and then the big one in the Carrier Dome tomorrow, Virginia and Syracuse.
No, that'll be an outstanding game. But you know, we've got a show that's kind of packed with some guests today, and not, you know, right now we're just going to jump on the Yabo's Taco Hotline and get our first guest in. He's assistant coach with the Machine, head coach down at Wilmington College, Coach Dom Marzano. Dom, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great. You guys playing today?
Yeah, we're about to get outside. We're going out there about 1 o'clock today just to practice. Our home opener is next Wednesday.
All right. Well, the first thing I want to talk to you about, Dom, is you got some new duties with the Machine. They put out a press release about a week ago with some added duties for you, and how's your job with the Machine going to change?
Oh yeah, yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad they definitely promoted me a little bit as far as the standpoint of an operations manager. So what I've done in the past is all the film coordination, but I love film, so that's no big deal there. I'll continue to do that as well as all the equipment. The uniforms, heads, handles, mesh, shooters, basically everything outfitted for the team, I'll take that role. And then the operations manager part of it would be basically Noah, our director of operations. I help him out on road games. I'm kind of his right-hand man if he needs something. I kind of go help him out with that as far as even drive the vans, set up locker rooms, anything I need to do. And then I set up all the home games as well as organize and plan some stuff with him with training camp as well. And Coach Davis has even let me go so far to work some youth programs. We're trying to get something started out in West Jeff here in the next this summer a little bit. So he's really let me go all in and really help at any end and every aspect of the team.
Dom, how's the growth of the game? I mean, you're at a program now. I believe it's your second year, third year there, kind of starting up from the ground up. How are things going out there for you?
Oh, they're going great. I mean, it's you know, it starts tough. You know, you're in the middle of Ohio. You're between Cincinnati and Columbus. It's great that it's growing, but you definitely have to, you know, you definitely have to do your homework, and it takes some time to grow, build a program. But what I love seeing is where we are, is seeing the growth of Dayton lacrosse and Cincinnati lacrosse and even Columbus and then Northern Kentucky. Indiana is picking up a lot. So, like, as much as it's grown with the college game, it's grown in high school as well, and I think that's helped a ton. And year three of the program right now, which I love seeing, is that we're finally at a good number of rosters. We got in the high 20s with numbers. So it's kind of fun now that we can play full field, we can practice full field, and I don't have to suit up anymore because we have enough numbers.
There you go.
that, and I'm losing a step. So I prefer to stay on the sidelines and help coach than I would play with these guys anymore. So it's great to see us grow as a program and seeing some of those guys that were in year one step up right now as juniors and really just kind of taking over the program right now.
One thing I wanted to ask you, Dom, is, you know, you're working with the Machine and coaching there in college in Division III at Wilmington. What kind of carryover from your, you know, from your professional duties are you bringing to the Wilmington program?
Oh, everything. So one thing I do that's helped me out tremendously working with the Ohio Machine is I run the substitution boxing game, which is the fastest thing ever. Mm-hmm. With the shot clock and the speed of the game, you learn quick, or else you're really gonna sink. So like our very first game in Denver, for example, I'd never run the box before at any level. I kind of skipped that step. And then our first game, it was against Denver in Mile High Stadium. And it was, you know, for the first 8 minutes, I don't know if I said anything, which Coach Davis looked at me. He goes, "You have to say something. Say anything." So it was kind of like it was a learning transition for me. But the more I got used to it, the more film I watched, the speed of the game, I caught on to it, and then it slowed down the game for me at Wilmington. So when I watch film and even the practice stuff, I'm seeing the little stuff that I didn't see in the past, I'm seeing now. And it's helped me tremendously as a coach. We also have guys that, you know, we have five guys that are interns with the Ohio Machine in the summer as well. So they've been out to practices watching these pro players play and how they prepare for practice and how they prepare for games. And our guys are really loving it. It's actually motivated them a ton more. I mean, in practice a few times, some of the interns will be like, "Oh, you know, that's a Kyle Harrison move," or I'll hear them trying to do that. I'll see a few of them trying to do that little backhanded dive move by Marcus Holman. They don't do it like that, but they try it anyway.
You got to give them some credit. Now, one of the things...
Yeah, it's good. And they're like, "Coach, did that work?" I was like, "It didn't, but good effort."
Yeah. Now, you guys have been dealing a little bit with what everyone else has, and that's the weather. And let me ask you this. Have you guys figured out how to clear the turf yet? Because I'll tell you, I saw a video of you guys with a piece of plywood trying to push it, and I said, I got to call up my boy Dom and kind of explain to him how to clean a turf field.
Yeah, so we were trying. We don't have the equipment to, you know, clean it, so I was trying, like a crazy coach, trying to get these guys outside. My guys are all for it. You know, we have plastic shovels, and I was like, "We need to make a gigantic shovel. We need to make one, guys." So we got a piece of plywood, cut up a PVC pipe, stuck it in the PVC pipe, made a plow that we can push.
There you go. You got like that innovation right there.
Figure it out at Wilmington. You know, we got some guys that are really blue-collar guys. Our equipment manager, Carl, helped us whip that little contraption together, and it's actually worked out great. We're actually going to go use it here in about a couple hours if you guys want to come see it live.
I'll take a pass on it. It's still too cold out there right now.
Well, we're on the Yabo's Taco Hotline on the lacrosse show with Wilmington College head coach Dom Marzano. Dom, I tell you, one of the things that I've always loved about you is no matter the situation, you've always been upbeat and you've always been positive. And, you know, I know you probably have your moments when things get on your nerves, but talk a little bit about being positive with a new program.
You have to really keep the whole, you know, the big picture in your mind, which is it takes a lot of time to grow a program. Takes a lot of time to get the right players to build. The big thing is building standards that you have. And I'm a big guy on practice. So, like, we have to learn to practice better every day. And that's what we started year one, is, like, just set a standard at practice every single day. And we do a day-to-day thing. We actually break it down so much as far as growing and improving as per drill we do. So in practice, every 15 minutes we do a different drill. We have to make sure we do that drill perfectly. So we break it down to the very, very last drill and every day. And that's kind of where we gauge ourselves. It's not so much we know that it's not going to have immediate success. We got to start one drill at a time. and you know, we've taken our lumps and taken our hits, and so have the guys. But you just have to continue to stay positive with those things, knowing that the good times will come once you get through all these bad times. And you hear a lot of coaches talk about, you know, losing does make you learn quick, or failures actually help you be successful. And that's true right now. Our guys know that. I know that. And you just really have to understand that there is a bigger picture, and it gets better, and your team improves. And that's why I'm just happy right now where we are. We are improving a lot. That and, you know, I'm coaching lacrosse for a living. I could be doing a lot of other things. So I don't think there's really a negative aspect to watching, coaching, and being around lacrosse every day of my life. I think that's a great thing.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. I mean, I'm still around the game quite a bit, but I do miss the work on the sideline. I do miss the practices every day. That's the great part about it. That's the fun part about it. And it's really interesting listening to you talking about breaking it down from a practice standpoint, because me personally, Dom, I think that's one of the biggest problems locally with lacrosse, is that young people don't know how to practice.
Yeah, it takes a little bit to start to practice. No, I agree with you. And, I think that a lot of that comes with leadership inside your practice. And our juniors have really taken off with that. You know, we have guys that have been here since year one. I've been lucky enough to keep a lot of those, you know, first-year guys. You know, they're tired of losing. They've been through it, and they're ready to start practicing hard. So practice has picked up, and it's extremely competitive. I made them watch the 30 for 30 film, the U part two.
Right.
Even though I'm a Buckeye fan, I still made them watch it, because there's one part in there they talk about how if you went out to practice, weren't ready, Sean Taylor would punch you. You know,
you don't want that.
So we've taken that approach, except not quite to the extent we're going to punch each other. But our leaders inside practice really step up, and at the high school level, that's incredibly important for those seniors to make sure that they have those young guys on board. And then that effect will just trickle down. Like, if you look at some of the top programs in the state of Ohio, I guarantee you go to their practice, and those captains are leading inside of practice, letting the coaches coach and letting the players be self-motivated.
No question about that. And, Dom, one more question I have is, when you look at your team right now, where do you think you're stacking up in the OAC this year?
Oh, the OAC is tough. It's really tough. Those three games that I've already seen this year, it's a young conference, but, man, there's good coaches, good players, good athletes. This year, honestly, our expectation is just to, you know, last year we didn't get a conference win. We definitely want to start getting more of those conference wins here. We have to play, a faster, smarter brand of lacrosse than we have in the past 2 years to be able to stack up against some of those guys. But I think it's a good year for us to do so. I think we'll turn some heads this year. Can I predict anything? No, we still have to get out and practice more. When we get a few games under our belt, I could probably figure out where we stack up more. But, no, we're going to fight to get into that top four and continue to fight every game. But it's a tough conference. It's a tough young conference. But I'm excited to see what we do in it this year in our third year.
No question. And just before we let you go, Dom, we've got one of the things that I've been impressed with Coach Bear Davis and the machine is how they're reaching out in the community and trying to bring the lacrosse community back together the way it used to be back when you and I were younger, and back when you were playing and coaches weren't so protective of their turf. And one of the things that he's done are these free chalk talks. He did one out at Actual Brewing a few weeks ago, and he's getting ready to do another one March 8th. At 5 o'clock, a week from tomorrow, at Yabo's Tacos over on Powell Road. Are you going to be able to be there? Or?
I will not. We will be playing Fonbon down in St. Louis, okay. But I highly suggest everybody get there. They got, I think, Coach Bice, Greg Bice from Columbus Academy, and our old machine guy talking, as well as Billy Olin from Coach Olin from Capital University. So that should be really good. But I think Coach Davis, the second he got in the office, it's kind of changed the community outreach. Obviously you guys have seen it and noticed. Coach has done great as far as reaching out. He's a Hilliard guy. So he's using a lot of those old connections he has to just get, that's why we're getting out to Wes Jeff and Jonathan Alder, and he's kind of letting me help out a lot with that stuff, is that Coach has been great. Just, the guy gets in the office and grinds and thinks, and he tries to make everybody become an Ohio Machine fan. I think that's going to be – his hard work now is going to pay off big time for the Ohio Machine, the MLL, and just Ohio lacrosse in general.
Well, I agree with you 100%. Well, Dom, thanks so much for taking some of your time this morning and spending with us and talking about lacrosse. And you know, we want to try to get you on later in the season after you guys have played a few games.
Great. I'm all for it. Thanks all right, for having brother. Me, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, man. We're up against the break. This is the Lacrosse Show.
1808 American Bistro prides themselves on offering menu items that meet the highest standards of quality, freshness, and seasonality, serving classic American fare with occasional Southern and Cajun twists. In addition, they have 48 craft beers on draft and a fine selection of wines and spirits. Check them out at 1808americanbistro.com for menus and event information.
Now until the end of the month, save on cases of balls at Midwest Lacrosse. Their manufacturer overshipped, so instead of paying return costs, they want to pass the savings along to you. Two cases, regularly $332, now only $300. That's only $150 a case. Buy three cases or more, and the savings get even greater. Just $145 per case. So coaches, team purchasing agents, stock up today at Midwest Lacrosse. All sales must be cash, check, or charge at delivery. Credit terms not available. Sale ends 2/28/2015. That's Midwest Lacrosse in Columbus or Twinsburg, Ohio. MidwestLacrosse.com.
Are you ready to change your game? Then change your handle. C12 Lacrosse is a premium manufacturer of high-performance carbon fiber lacrosse handles. They are the first in the industry to engineer position-specific handles for your style of play. They offer an attack, midfield, LSM, Class D, goalie, and two lady size handles. Manufactured right here in Central Ohio and backed by an industry-leading 12-month warranty. So when you're ready to change your game, the new Selly line is available at Midwest Lacrosse or any C12 Lacrosse authorized dealer in Ohio. C12 Lacrosse. Handle the game. Pizza, burgers, and fries again. It's time to flip the script and head to Yabo's Sports Grill and Bar. Yabo's is a sports grill and bar with a twist. Excellent craft beers, award-winning margaritas, and a high-end menu featuring the freshest tacos with your choice of fillings like fish, shrimp, and steak. Yabo's serves outstanding burritos, bowls, the cheesiest quesadillas anywhere, and Coach Taylor's favorite, the big sloppy Yabo. Yabo's has three locations, Westerville, Arlington, and Powell. Don't settle for pizza or wings. Flip the script and head to your nearest Yabo's Sports Grill and Bar. Truly the best place to be for sports.
We know what it's like, that persistent, nagging feeling that will only go away when you get away. For those with a passion for travel, there's the new Discover It Miles card. You earn unlimited 1.5 miles for every dollar you spend, and you can fly any airline anytime with no blackout dates. Just buy your ticket and use miles to credit your statement. Apply now and Discover will double your miles at the end of your first year. So go on, scratch that travel itch. Get the new Discover It Miles card today. Limitations apply. Learn more at discover.com/miles.
It can be tough being a service member activated for duty. That's why the Yellow Ribbon Reintegration Program is here to help. We serve thousands of National Guard and Reserve members and ensure their families have the support they need. Learn more at yellowribbon.mil.
Stoss Brewing is Delaware, Ohio's first and only brew pub. In a day and age where craft breweries are becoming more and more experimental, Stoss stays true to the beer-making process. Classic styles, true to style, with 12 original beers on tap. Oil up with Stoss Brewing before and after every Ohio Machine game this summer. Located at 31 West Winter Street in Delaware, just blocks from Selby Stadium. Stay up to date on everything Stoss on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Stoss Brewing.
We are back and getting ready to talk some more lacrosse with my main man, Coach Sean Ryan. Sean, big week in Ohio, first week of practice for the high school guys.
Definitely.
You're doing a little work with Thomas this year?
Yes, I am. I'm helping out with the Thomas Worthington Cardinals, and you know, so we got 1 week in under the books, and you know, the boys are working hard. A lot of emphasis on stick work and conditioning, and you know, making sure the ball doesn't hit the ground. Like a lot of teams, you know, right now it's the early portion. You know, kind of making sure that we're taking care of those nicks and bruises here and there. Everyone's staying healthy, and that they're you know, kind of seeing where we're at and where we can go. So every day we're taking steps forward.
Without a doubt. Let's talk a little bit about practice, because when we were talking to Dom, one of the things that this is a big issue with me is that kids just don't know how to practice. They don't know the right approach to practice. And it is about leadership, and it is about how you emphasize with that. You have to teach kids, I think, how to practice, what to do. They get a practice plan. You put a practice plan together. You post it on the, you know, post it on the board so they can see it early, and it's not so they can know this drill's at 7 minutes after this one. This one, it's so they can see what we're going to work on and figure out, okay, what do I want to get from each one of these drills?
Oh, without a doubt. And communication is a key. That's one of the biggest things that I think a lot of times that the that programs lack is the communication between the staff and the players. What do, like you said, coach, you know, what are we trying to get out of today? What are our goals as a team? And then, you know, to kind of solidify those goals, to fortify those goals at the end of practice, kind of saying, hey, you know, what did we do today? What was the main focus today? Tack, what were we talking about? Stick protection, you know, kind of, you know, put it back, because the big thing is you got to hammer it into them so that way they have an understanding. The other thing too is that you got to make sure you're doing your drills in the right fashion, that you're progressing. You know, you're just not going to go out there and do one-on-ones. You know, you want to first, you know, have the guys work a little bit on their dodging, you know, kind of doing the inside rolls, the rocker steps, you know, the question mark dodges. And then you want to kind of see how they're protecting their stick. You know, when they're changing direction, are they hanging their stick? You know, work on those little things first, and then all of a sudden kind of build. It's the same thing when you're doing any type of transition drill. You know, start out doing a 2-on-1, and then a 3-on-2, then a 4-on-3, then a 5-on-4 to a 6-on-5. You know, sometimes as coaches, we kind of get a little bit overzealous and we want to jump right in and play.
Right.
And, you know, well, you know, I got 7 seniors. I got 8 seniors. They know what they're doing. They've been off for a good, you know, 10 months from coaching. You know, you got to ease into things. It's all about baby steps. And, you know, one of the things that a coach once told me, and I've used this several times, is that that lacrosse is, if we were to kind of equate it or compare it to track, for example, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And that's the biggest thing. Same thing with games. It's not who scores the first goal.
No.
It's who has the distance. As we saw yesterday, again, harping on that game that we saw with Denver and Carolina because it was a primetime game. That game was a marathon. It wasn't the first to five, you know. And so those are some things that, you know, coaches, your feedback to the players. Let them know what they're doing, what they need to work on and everything. And, you know, I think today with a lot of the kids, they need that. They need that. They're getting that from their parents. They're getting that from their teachers in school. They're getting that from their friends. You know, they need to know why we're doing this.
Exactly.
What is the result of it?
I agree with you. You know, and another thing, Sean, and you and I have both, you know, coached in these, you know, these summer tournaments back on the East Coast and that type of thing, and taking Ohio teams back there. And one of the things that I always heard from coaches back on the East Coast and a lot of Division I coaches, Ohio players don't have lacrosse IQ. And I think lacrosse IQ gets built in doing the things that you're talking about.
Agreed.
Working on the little things, not hanging your stick. Where should I be in relationship to the ball? You know, learning things like, you know, okay, how do, you know, you tell kids constantly, you know, you got to keep moving. You can't be stationary. And not putting it into perspective. One of the things I used to always teach my attackmen, I taught them a thing we call straight line. Because I coach my offense because I play defense. And the way I coach my offense was basically, I want you guys to understand what frustrated me as a defender. And so one of the things that all defensemen are taught is triangulation. You draw a line between the ball and your guy, and you take a step or two steps off of that line. And you triangulate so you can always see that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, you want to keep moving? Straight line him. Wherever he goes, take two steps and get into a straight line with the ball. And I said, he's going to lose you. Things like that. And you know, you don't hear that, but those are the kind of IQ things that, you know, these coaches were telling me about.
Sure.
And I just wonder what your, you know, what some of your experience was, because you recruited and you also talked to your colleagues out there.
Yeah, I think, you know, to cut it back to the lacrosse IQ thing, I think that's something that it comes over time. And, you know, one of the things with where we are in Ohio with high school lacrosse is that, you know, I'd have to say pretty close to 99.9% of the coaches now have played the game. And so maybe 15, 20 years ago, that wasn't the case. And so now all of a sudden you have people that have come back to their communities that are giving back, that are implementing the drills that they did maybe at the college level, whether it was college club or college varsity lacrosse, and they're turning those drills in. The other thing, too, is you're seeing coaches that are involved in their summer camp programs. The biggest thing, I think, with lacrosse IQ, where it can start, is at the youth level. And making sure that you have the right people in place. Because one of the things that you see at the traditional programs that are very strong is that the youth program, they're having the varsity coaches come down and help out. and teach, this is what we're doing. They're not showing their whole cards. You know, they're not going through the whole, this is what this play is, this is what that is, but they're teaching the foundation for it. So that way, as those kids grow, they're in a program, they're in a process. One of the hardest things for a program is that when you have coaches at every level doing different things. So if you have your 7th and 8th grade team running one offense and the freshman team running another and JV's running another, and then all of a sudden they come into varsity as sophomores or juniors and they have to relearn a whole new offense. And so that's one of the things that I think, you know, as far as lacrosse IQ goes with the coaches, it's definitely on a higher end now here in Ohio. As far as, you know, players goes, I think one of the biggest things that I always looked for when I would recruit and I talked to a high school coach, because that's what we used to do back in the day, mm-hmm. was contact the high school coaches because they're with them day in and day out. I would ask the coach, first question is this a young man that's a good citizen? Okay, is he coachable? And what that would mean to me is that if I told him to go out there and do something, is he going to do that? Or is he going to look at me and then all of a sudden question it? Because one of the things is, as a college coach, they want coachable kids. You know, they don't want the guys that can do all the stick tricks and all this and that. They want to make sure that if they tell a kid, this is what we want to do, this is our objective, that they're going to be able to go out there and follow through with it.
There you go. Well, you know, another thing I wanted to ask you about, and, you know, I've got my own thoughts about it, but as a coach, how scripted are you in terms of playing your game, specifically offensively? How scripted are you? Meaning, how many design plays are you going to have? Or are you teaching your guys how to play within the framework of the set that we're in? And what we're trying to accomplish.
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, it's a mixture of all of it. I mean, you got to, you know, look at, yeah, you can go in. I mean, one of the things when I was at Wesleyan, we always scripted our first play. So that way, when we had off, you know, when we got the ball on the face-off, we had that first play down and we would practice it going into a game. Hey, this is what we want to run right off the bat. And then all of a sudden, you got to look at to see what the team is giving you. How are they playing you? Are they playing you zone? Okay, well, if they're playing zone defense against us, this is the zone offense we're going to run against that zone defense. And then you have your overall base offense. The big thing is making sure that all the players are on the same page. So that way, it's just not your top three attackmen or your top three midfielders. It's the second level guys, because the thing is that you can't go into a game anymore where you're running three line or one line of midfielders. You know, you got to be able to go to that second line, you got to be able to go to that fourth, fifth attackman. And a great way to hide that person, if you don't have a legit fourth attackman, is to be in a position, maybe last minute of each quarter, you get him in. Not only is he going to gain confidence, but then all of a sudden you can sit your, you know, your thoroughbred. That way he gets a little bit longer of a time to kind of rest and recuperate. But that's one of the things right there. I think, you know, I would look at what a defense is giving us, how we can do it. You know, do they change up their slide scheme from what we prepared for? Because, you know, coaches are good. Coaches are going to change things. They have to. You're not going to go in with the same game plan every single time, because you have to take a look at what the other team is giving you. And then you got to make sure that you have the right personnel in place for what you want to do. So many coaches are just, this is what we run, this is how we've done it for the past 10 years, this is where we're going to go with it. Well, you know what? You might not have those type of players.
Right.
So you have to change things up a little bit, adjust.
Right. And one final question before we go to the break. As a coach, because I used to have a system, and I always told my teams, I'm not perfect. I said, I sometimes miss it. And I always had a challenge system. If a player... You know, if a player looked at the depth chart and felt he was in a, you know, that he wasn't getting a fair shake, he could come to me and the coaches and say, you know, I think I should be on the first line. Well, who do you think you're better than? He would tell me. And then I said, okay, well, this week, you know what we're going to do? You're going to challenge him. So you're going to play against him. You're going to play with him. You know, and we're going to watch. And we're going to reevaluate the situation. You know, over the years, I had three or four guys come in and do that. But the question I wanted to ask you, Sean, is, as a coach, do you think that you miss it from time to time in terms of personnel and in terms of a kid who can be effective and help you, and you kind of set him down on the bench and, you know, second, third midfield, something like that, and you really miss the quality guy?
Definitely, without a doubt. I mean, that's one of those things. I mean, a young man can slip through a cracks. And, you know, it's one of those things as coaches is that, you know, that's how we grow. That's how we learn. And, you know, spots are won and lost in practices. But they're also won and lost in the classroom. They're also won and lost in the community as well, too. And you want to make sure that, you know, as a coach, you're putting your best guys out there to be put your team in the best position to win games. And, you know, there's been definitely, I've had players where I've looked back and kind of said, you know what, I had that guy running short stick D Mitty. Maybe I should have ran him more on offense. But the thing is that that's going to help me down the line. So that way, next time I have that young man who is that similar player, I can say, you know what, this is how we handled, you know, Johnny, but I want to go with Joey. Let's give him an opportunity. The other thing, too, is when players come to you and they ask those type of questions, you know, they got to be able to explain themselves. It's not just one of those things of how come I'm not playing.
Right.
You know, it's the, you know, coach, I understand the offense. I understand the defense. I'm putting the time in. I'm doing everything that you want me to do. Where's the miscommunication? What am I doing wrong? How can I improve myself?
Yep.
Okay. And then follow it up with, well, what can I do to get on the field more? What can I do to contribute? Again, you know, today's society, these kids, you know, instant gratification. You know, they got Instagram, they got Twitter, they got Facebook. You know, they can communicate so quickly. They want to know, you know, right away. And unfortunately, if things aren't going their way, some kids, you know, they get turned off by it. And then all of a sudden you lose that young man. And, you know, and as a coach, it's, you got to cater, you got to nurture that person and, you know, kind of get them through. It's not the old days of growing up where, you know, you can have a coach grab you by the face mask, turn your head sideways, drag you across a field, and tell you how to pick up a ground ball.
I hear you. Well, we're up
Which
against
is a good
another
thing.
Break. And that's all good stuff, and we will be back here shortly on the Lacrosse Show.
Pizza, burgers, and fries again. It's time to flip the script and head to Yabo's Sports Grill and Bar. Yabo's is a sports grill and bar with a twist. Excellent craft beers, award-winning margaritas, and a high-end menu featuring the freshest tacos with your choice of fillings like fish, shrimp, and steak. Yabo's serves outstanding burritos, bowls, the cheesiest quesadillas anywhere, and Coach Taylor's favorite, the big sloppy Yabo. Yabo's has three locations, Westerville, Arlington, and Powell. Don't settle for pizza or wings. Flip the script and head to your nearest Yabo's Sports Grill and Bar. Truly the best place to be for sports. Now until the end of the month, save on cases of balls at Midwest Lacrosse. Their manufacturer overshipped, so instead of paying return costs, they want to pass the savings along to you. Two cases, regularly $332, now only $300. That's only $150 a case. Buy three cases or more, and the savings get even greater. Just $145 per case. So coaches, team purchasing agents, stock up today at Midwest Lacrosse. All sales must be cash, check, or charge at delivery. Credit terms not available. Sale ends 2/28/2015. That's Midwest Lacrosse in Columbus or Twinsburg, Ohio. Midwest Lacrosse. Now until the end of the month, save on cases of balls at Midwest Lacrosse. Their manufacturer overshipped, so instead of paying return costs, they want to pass the savings along to you. Two cases, regularly $332, now only $300. That's only $150 a case. Buy three cases or more, and the savings get even greater. Just $145 per case. So coaches, team purchasing agents, stock up today at Midwest Lacrosse. All sales must be cash, check, or charge at delivery. Credit terms not available. Sale ends 2/28/2015. That's Midwest Lacrosse in Columbus or Twinsburg, Ohio. MidwestLacrosse.com.
There's only one natural ingredient that could instantly shift your mood, help you focus, recall lost memories, lower stress, and boost your self-confidence. It's available everywhere, works immediately, is affordable, and can change the quality of your life forever. It's called playing music.
Side effects include restless foot syndrome, spontaneous undulation, and can be highly contagious. If a smile doesn't last for more than 4 hours, consult your nearest music store.
Just play. Your prescription to a better life. Brought to you by the NAMM Foundation.
The folks at CG's Auto Paint and Body have been involved in Central Ohio lacrosse and in business for over 35 years, fixing your minor and not so minor dents, scratches, and bumps that young drivers sometimes inflict on your automobile. A lot has changed in lacrosse over the past 35 years in Central Ohio, but at CG's Auto Paint and Body, nothing has changed the way they do business or the way they treat their customers. CG's Auto Paint and Body conducts business the way honorable athletes compete on the lacrosse field, with commitment of promise completed. honor, character, above reproach, loyalty to you, the customer, and fair play. CG's Auto Paint and Body at 5431 Byers Circle salutes all the young athletes participating in lacrosse this season and is a proud supporter of coaches Taylor and Ryan and the lacrosse show. CG's Auto Paint and Body, 5431 Byers Circle in Columbus, or call Chris and tell him you heard him on the lacrosse show at 436-8148. That's 436-8148. CG's Auto Paint and Body, 5431 Byers Circle.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
AutoZone can help you ensure maximum visibility with new all-weather wiper blades for enhanced performance in ice and snow, so you can see your way through the worst this winter. Because sometimes, no matter the weather, you just have to get someplace.
We made it.
Yes! 25-cent wing night, dude.
Put your tax refund to work for your car and get a $10 AutoZone gift card by mail when you buy two Rain-X Quantum wiper blades. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone.
Are you looking for the fun bunch? They're at Chubby's Sports Bar, 1846 Hard Road in Worthington. Chubby's has some of the best pub food around. Big screens everywhere. The finest in adult beverages mixed right. And the best part is the atmosphere. So if you need a people place to watch the next big game or just want to unwind after a long day, come to Chubby's. It's where you'll find the fun bunch. Tell Debbie Mr. Bill sent you and she'll say, so? Open for lunch, dinner, and late night daily. Chubby's, a great American sports bar.
We are back, and we're getting ready to jump out on the Yabo's Tacos hotline and talk to Rick Beardsley, former All-American at Syracuse and the head coach at Christian Brothers Academy in upstate New York. Rick, this is Coach Taylor. How are you this morning, my friend? Hello, Rick?
Yeah.
There
yeah,
he is.
Yeah.
There he is.
You guys lost me for a second there. But I'm up in this house right now. I'm up in your ears. I know it.
Rick, what's going on, man?
What's going on, boys? Yo, I'm in your cabeza right now because you want to know why you're wearing headphones. So I'm on, like, both sides. Like, I'm coming at you, like, in stereo circa 1992 FM.
HD, baby. HD.
Oh, we're HD. We're high definition.
Absolutely.
Rick, let's jump right into it. You've had a chance to kind of see some games early on. Obviously, you know, the Cuse games. I know you're there watching them and everything. Early season thoughts?
I'll be honest with you. They're the favorite for the national championship. People can say a lot of things. I know that, obviously, UNC pulled the win over Denver yesterday down at North Carolina, and that changes the landscape in a way. It just shuffles the top four. You know, Syracuse wins tomorrow versus Virginia, and obviously they slide into one. But all along, people have been asking me, you know, and I get this, you know, here in Central New York, I get it because I'm in the lacrosse business. You know, I get a lot of questions from across the country from coaches and how good is Syracuse? Syracuse is very, very good, and the reason why, number one, offense wins games, defense wins championships, and their defense is extremely athletic. If you look at their defense versus anyone in the country right now, they have the most athletic defense. And that's a huge thing in the modern day of lacrosse, right? Because with stick technologies, stick checks, and all those things, you know, being a huge physical athlete is what they've recruited and what they have. And therefore, you know, they're putting a smackdown on a lot of guys, and they're holding teams to a lot of goals. You know, from scoring a lot of goals. I mean, if you look at Army, oh, they won the face-off battle, and Army scored a lot of goals. Well, did they really? I mean, let's be honest. You know, I mean, what were those goals scored on? Were they one-on-one goals? Were they off the ball? I mean, how many opportunities did Army really have? You know, face-offs tell a good, you know, they give you a good picture of a game, but they're not the telltale all stat that makes you score goals. So, you know, Syracuse right now has the best defense in the country. And moving into playoff time, that's huge because the ability to shut people down is what's going to help them in the playoffs. And then couple that with that motion offense. I don't know if you guys know a lot about that motion offense, but I played against it in the alumni game. And I may be 41 and a little bit slow these days, and the only thing that runs fast is my mouth.
Without a doubt.
But, oh, yeah, without a doubt. But I can tell you, when that offense is run correctly, it is almost impossible to pick apart with slide packages simply because it spreads and moves you too much. The only way to do it was how Denver 2 years ago tried to contend with it, which was basically they ran a three-across zone that kind of matched up when the guys moved, right? And still, Syracuse is able to pick you apart with outside shooting. I'm telling you right now, guys, I know I sound like a homer. I know, you know, that I played at Syracuse and I live in Syracuse. I am telling you right now, Syracuse is the best team across the board in the United States.
Rick, this is Coach Taylor. We're talking to Rick Beardsley, head coach of Christian Brothers Academy and former All-American from Syracuse. Rick, I tend to agree with you. Let me ask you this. Early season surprises. I know you've watched a few games. What games or what players or what teams have surprised you early?
Well, Marquette. Look at Marquette. They're 4-0. I mean, Marquette was like the Midwest redheaded stepchild. Think about it. I mean, with all due respect, I love Amps. He's my guy. Joe Amplo is my man. I talk to Coach Weed all the time. But I'm going to tell you that if you look at the recruiting landscape and then the Division I landscape, teams like Lemoyne, when you're a club coach like myself, you're thinking teams like Lemoyne can beat up on, you know, Marquette, a D2 team beating up on a D1 team. He's done an unbelievable job thus far with what he's gotten, and what he's doing is amazing. Now, that's a huge surprise to me. The Yale Maryland win, that wasn't a big surprise to me. You know, it just wasn't. Yale plays an old school style of D. They press out on guys. And truth be told, Maryland losing Connor Cannizzaro to Denver really hurts a catalyst that creates opportunities for the Maryland guys to score. So that wasn't a, you know, that's not such a surprise. But really, to answer your question, and I'm all hyped up on coffee and I just get amped up in general because this freaking game is unbelievable, is Marquette.
Without a doubt. Now, one of the things, Rick, you guys are getting ready for your season. How's the snowbanks in upstate New York these days? How high are they?
Oh, God. I'm a good 6'1" at this point, and I'm reversed into my driveway, Greed style, in my truck. You know that. You know that, Sean.
Yes, I do.
That's how I roll. And I'm murdered out all black from head to toe.
Of course.
True Religion, you know. I got the True Religion snow hat on and everything.
Nice.
I was just at a car wash that I own in Fayetteville, down by where you're from, by the way.
Yep.
And the snowbanks were about 22 feet, 23 feet high, according to my keen eye. So right now it's a warm 14 degrees, and it's sunny out. I'm not going to lie to you, man. I'm getting tired of this cold weather, and it's just not going to end for another couple of weeks. I mean, it's killing me right now. I talked to Tim Desko down at Rollins College this morning.
Yeah, he's sun's out, guns out.
My God, how jealous am I?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I mean, you're not getting it any better.
Exactly.
Let's be honest, I work for a company out of Cleveland now called Unitas, which is a sublimated uniform manufacturer. And believe me, when I went there for my job interview, it was like I never left Syracuse. So,
exactly. Now, one of the things, Rick, is that, you know, we're going to switch gears here a little bit, kind of talk about yourself, because I know that you can definitely talk about yourself. Four-time All-American at Syracuse, national champion. You go on, you play in the indoor league, you play in the outdoor league. One of the things is that we're tied in here with the Ohio Machine. This broadcast is going to be on the MLL Network as kind of one of the founding group of first-year, third-year players in the MLL. How have you seen that game grow?
Oh, that game is growing. I mean, the speed of the game is just incredible. Now, you know, everybody can argue, you know, was my year of athletes better? Was this year of athletes better? You know, the long and the short of it is they're all good, right? It's just you do different things with what you have. The MLL from the first year that I played it, which was the inaugural season, till now, I mean, if you look at the team's speed, the game's speed, and not forget about shot clocks and how hard guys shoot and stick technology, the game's speed is just unreal. I mean, it's up and down. I mean, I've never been more impressed. I mean, obviously, I was the oldest guy in that supplemental draft, right? That was well publicized, and that's pretty funny. That it is. Dude, I'm 41 years old. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I can ball, even for a guy that has two ruptured Achilles tendons. I still can ball. I mean, I can sit on a pipe and hack the hell out of people.
Yep.
And still pick up the ball. You don't lose your hand. You don't lose your brain. You lose your feet when you get older, but you get more intelligent. You know, the MLL is really a very fun and entertaining league to watch and be around. And speaking of Ohio Machine, I'm lucky enough to – I talk to Tom Mariano all the time. He's one of my good buddies I grew up with. And you know, I get to hear about – I ask a lot of questions. You know, what are you doing? What's different than what you're doing at Pace versus what you're doing in the MLL? And I get to learn a lot as a coach because I'm real lucky to be able to talk to people at that level. But the MLL, I hope, grows and pushes more, you know, throughout the Midwest and then to the West Coast. I mean, you're not talking about getting 10,000 people at a game, but if you can sustain some growth on a yearly basis, there's a lot of really good lacrosse players out there, and the game is an entertaining game when people see it.
No question.
It's never, you know, it's just one of those games that you're hooked on, right? Lacrosse in general, when you see it, you get hooked on it. And the more press we bring to our game, the better it is for the United States sports culture.
Absolutely.
Not just lacrosse players all around, the sports culture, because lacrosse is a sport that combines everything. And the MLL, you know, it is one of those physical, fast sports, and who the hell wouldn't love it?
This is Coach Taylor again. We're talking with Rick Beardsley, former All-American at Syracuse, and one of the greatest talkers we've ever had on the show.
Coach Taylor, let me cut you off real quick.
Okay.
Opie.
Yes.
Is he used to me right now? Do I have him broken in already?
Nah, I wouldn't say yet. No.
Is he taken back, looking at you, rolling his eyes right now?
I think he's very excited to have you. I try to, you know, here's the thing. If you don't know Bam Bam, you got to get to hear him. And this is one of those things, Rick, why I wanted to have you on right away. You know, following up Petro. I mean, you and I had a good chuckle on that about how we go from Petro to you, but you know what, as far as players goes, I definitely have you as one of the top defensemen to ever play the game. I was telling a group of kids last night in Thomas Worthington to go ahead and Google you and you're the beast. There's no question about it. And you,
I don't know, but Coach Taylor, I didn't mean to cut you off, man.
That's okay, man.
I just got to get you used to it. In the Midwest, I move fast, brother.
Okay.
I move fast here in the Cuse.
I hear you, brother. You're going to be with us a few more times this year. I can guarantee you that. Now, one thing I can say to you, man, I wish you had played with me back in the day, and I'm not even going to talk about how far back that was. All I can tell you.
I played with Jesus and Moses on my D-line.
Well,
I don't even want to hear it.
Our starting attackmen wore loincloths and had headdresses. So, that's all I can tell you, brother.
Was your best attackman, could he part the seas?
Absolutely.
So
I love it.
Hey, with Virginia Syracuse. Now, I was going back and everything. Tomorrow, huge game. Mm-hmm. People are talking a little bit. It could be very similar to the 1 year when Doug Knight and the 22-21 game or whatever it was when Casey had seven goals. Mm-hmm. Do we think it's going to be that type of track meet getting up and down? Or is it going to be one of those things that because of the youth of Virginia, they're going to be a little bit too overwhelmed with Syracuse experience?
You know, the one thing I've seen, and I hit on it earlier when we started, you know, started everything here, was Syracuse's defense. So Syracuse's defense, if you've noticed and you watch them, they push the ball. That is really different of years past. I mean, they get up and they get defense to create offense. Now, with UVA, you know, they've been playing in bad weather. They're going to be into the confines of the Carrier Dome, which is always 70 degrees, and overcast. I think Syracuse is going to push the pace. Obviously, you have six solid midfielders at Syracuse that can get up and down. You know, Jordan is back, you know, with his knee and, you know, what they would call it a lower extremity issue, you know, injury. But they have six solid midfielders. UVA, I think the big kicker for them is, can they sustain a running game if Syracuse picks up the pace?
Sure.
I think UVA is going to slap a zone at them every once in a blue moon if Syracuse gets up. You know, if you're smart and you're a college coach, which Dom Starzia, who is one of the greatest guys this game's ever had, I mean, you can't ask for a better person than Dom Starzia, truth be told, and Guy Van Ardsdale. I mean, and Mark Van Ardsdale.
Well, Guy, too.
You know, Guy is legit. We called him Tog Tabagoo back in the day.
Yes.
That's what we called him.
Yep.
But he has since been, he's skinnier than me now, which I love him for. But those guys will come in probably with a game plan. I mean, if you're going to play Syracuse and you want to kind of stifle them and keep them on their heels, I'd go in and out of a zone, you know, offense. I'd go, you know, zone to man, throw a lock off on people every once in a while. You know, the one guy that they come at you on attack with, Syracuse does, with three guys, and you can't put a short stick on.
No.
I mean, you put a short stick on Dylan Donnie, he beats you one on one. I mean, he's the most, technically, if you look at him, he looks like the most unathletic guy on their offense.
Yep.
You know, but when
smooth.
He gets his hands free, you know, with that left hand, I mean, he can put, I mean, he can put balls in slivers.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple. But, you know, getting up, it's going to get up and down. That game is going to be fun. I'm not going to be able to make it, I don't think, even though it's up the street. I'll be watching it on TV and listening, you know, to the always entertaining Kyle Fetterly, a.k.a. Grande on the
El
radio.
Grande, yes, El Grande.
You know, when he goes, oh!
Yes.
He just cuts everybody off worse than I ever, you know, and it's great with him and Higgins. It's unbelievable. So I get excited, but I'm looking forward to it. It's orange on orange. You know, a little rumor was, and it's probably not a rumor if I'm telling you this, but Virginia was going to come in and wear orange.
Wow.
How about that?
How about
That's
that?
Like I talked to a buddy of mine who's real close to the Virginia team because he deals with the things on their head. And he was just like, yeah, they're going to come in orange. And I said, my God, that would be such an insult.
It would ruffle some feathers.
Well, Rick, we're up against a break, buddy. I want you to do me a favor now. I want you to send Sean your song, because we got to have bumper music for you next time you're on here, man. We got to warn people that you're coming
on. You realize
on.
What kind of Pandora box you're opening now.
Guys, I used to go with... Like, I'm a techno guy, obviously, total EDM Gweed, Bob.
Yes.
But I've been into Rick Ross, the boss, a.k.a. Rick Rosé. So I would like, next time I come on, I need some Rosé. I need some Rick Rosé. I need to get into it.
Okay.
I mean, I need to thump some bass.
Well, Rick, what can we say? Thank you, Rick, for being on here.
Thanks so much, buddy. We're up against a break. We're going to take off. Rick Beardsley. Head coach at Christian Brothers Academy.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
see
man.
Peace.
Talk to you soon. Century. Oh, it's timeless. Ho. Thanks for coming out tonight. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with me.
Now until the end of the month, save on cases of balls at Midwest Lacrosse. Their manufacturer overshipped, so instead of paying return costs, they want to pass the savings along to you. Two cases, regularly $332, now only $300. That's only $150 a case. Buy three cases or more, and the savings get even greater. Just $145 per case. So coaches, team purchasing agents, stock up today at Midwest Lacrosse. All sales must be cash, check, or charge at delivery. Credit terms not available. Sale ends 2/28/2015. That's Midwest Lacrosse in Columbus or Twinsburg, Ohio. MidwestLacrosse.com.
Are you ready to change your game? Then change your handle. C12 Lacrosse is a premium manufacturer of high-performance carbon fiber lacrosse handles. They are the first in the industry to engineer position-specific handles for your style of play. They offer an attack, midfield, LSM, Class D, goalie, and two lady size handles. Manufactured right here in Central Ohio and backed by an industry-leading 12-month warranty. So when you're ready to change your game, the new Selly line is available at Midwest Lacrosse or any C12 Lacrosse authorized dealer in Ohio. C12 Lacrosse. Handle the game.
The folks at CG's Auto Paint and Body have been involved in Central Ohio lacrosse and in business for over 35 years, fixing your minor and not-so-minor dents, scratches, and bumps that young drivers sometimes inflict on your automobile. A lot has changed in lacrosse over the past 35 years in Central Ohio, but at CG's Auto Paint and Body, nothing has changed the way they do business or the way they treat their customers. CG's Auto Paint and Body conducts business the way honorable athletes compete on the lacrosse field, with commitment of promise completed, honor, character, above reproach, loyalty to you, the customer, and fair play. CG's Auto Paint and Body at 5431 Byers Circle salutes all the young athletes participating in lacrosse this season and is a proud supporter of coaches Taylor and Ryan and the Lacrosse Show. CG's Auto Paint and Body, 5431 Byers Circle in Columbus. Or call Chris and tell him you heard him on the Lacrosse Show at 436-8148. That's 436-8148. CG's Auto Paint and Body, 5431 Byers Circle.
We know what it's like, that persistent nagging feeling that will only go away when you get away.
For those with a passion for travel, there's the new Discover It Miles card. You earn unlimited 1.5 miles for every dollar you spend, and you can fly any airline anytime with no blackout dates. Just buy your ticket and use miles to credit your statement. Apply now and Discover will double your miles at the end of your first year. So go on, scratch that travel itch. Get the new Discover It Miles card today. Limitations apply. Learn more at discover.com/miles.
Hey, thanks for taking a look at my car so quickly.
Okay, start it up. I can tell you right now, lady, the problem is you're flushing your money right down the drain because your tires are underinflated.
Okay, wait, what?
Look, when your tires are properly inflated, you improve your gas mileage, which saves you money at the pump. Properly inflated tires also help keep you safe on the road. So stop flushing your money away and get some air in your tires.
A message from the Rubber Manufacturers Association.
There is a part of our world where toxic chemicals and carcinogens are leaching into our environment. It's the ground underneath every littered cigarette butt. Let's stop the toxic litter. Learn more at RethinkButts.org. Brought to you by Legacy and Leave No Trace.
1808 American Bistro prides themselves on offering menu items that meet the highest standards of quality, freshness, and seasonality, serving classic American fare with occasional Southern and Cajun twists. In addition, they have 48 craft beers on draft and a fine selection of wines and spirits. Check them out at 1808AmericanBistro.com for menus and event information.
My friend Alex was diagnosed with cancer, so I put on a concert with tons of other kids so they could help raise money and lift his spirits.
It's a very good feeling to volunteer.
Kids can really make a difference.
Helping other people in my community.
To do something bigger than myself.
Start at a young age and keep promoting the spirit of volunteerism as you go throughout your life.
Young students make a big difference when they volunteer. Encourage them to learn more about the Prudential Spirit of Community Awards. Visit spirit.prudential.com.
Major League lacrosse action is back in the Buckeye State, and your Ohio machine is oiled up for 2015. Don't miss any of the hard-hitting, adrenaline-laced action as the machine rocks the competition the only way they know how, through blood, sweat, and gears. Get your tickets now to watch the highest-scoring lacrosse team in the world. Light the lamp all summer long. This is Ohio Machine Lacrosse. We play for each other. We play for the fans. We play for Ohio. It's time to oil up. For tickets, visit theohiomachine.com or call 614-754-1973.
Here we are. We're back again, and Sean and I are trying to recover from our last guest, Rick Beardsley. Rick, he's just a piece of work. There's no question.
As he said, we just scratched the surface. I remember the first time I had an opportunity to see Rick play. I believe it was his senior year in high school in the state championship. He was before the game talking it up with the crowd, and there was a lot of hype because he was going to go to Syracuse and you're going to have a chance to see him play. But I mean, he is a four-time first team All-American defenseman, unbelievable stick. You know, he was kind of the one that after the Petromala, McCabe, DiTomaso, and they're all from that area too. Right. That's the thing. They're all from that Hudson Valley, kind of right near Long Island area. And he was like the dominant takeaway guy that kind of came out of that era. And, you know, when he on Twitter, Uncle Rick Beastly, and he's a beast. There's no doubt about it. And but he's somebody who has a high passion for the game, as we know, knows a lot of people in the community. And, you know, it was great to have him on here.
I was just looking at the Yabo's Taco hotline. It was lit up, and I just didn't know if we had somebody else sitting out
Let's
there.
Let's play
there.
Magic Ball.
I don't think we got anybody.
Nope. I think we might have just left it on. But, yeah, that was a lot. Rick's a lot of fun. There's no question about it. And this has been you're talking about a fun 60 minutes. This thing's gone by so fast, make your head swim.
Yeah, I thought that he brought up some interesting points, too, you know, talking about Marquette. Yeah. Definitely a team out of nowhere. You know, Coach Amp's done a great job out there. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they progress through. They got the Big East coming through, you know, with St. John's and some of those teams, kind of see how they, if they're going to continue that run. But they're definitely in that upward building. Yep. You know, I think it's really neat if you think about it. You know, two teams that are really kind of lighting things on fire are in the Midwest with Notre Dame and with Marquette. And, you know, I thought it was good too to talk a little bit about the growth of the game. You know, there's a big push right now in the Houston area down in Texas. They're going to have the MLL All-Star game there this year. You know, that's going to be one of those areas that's going to be looked upon for that growth and expansion for the MLL as well.
You know, the other team that we need to watch is Holy Cross. I mean, you know, Holy Cross, I mean, you see them, they play lacrosse every year there, and not much comes of it, but, you know, they just dropped Loyola last week, 13-12?
Yep.
And, you know,
I think, yeah, and Judd Lattimore, who's the coach there, you know, he's paid his dues and has an opportunity to kind of do some good things there. You know, with Holy Cross, it's always been one of those things, is the support there for it.
Right.
You know, do they have the support? So hopefully it's a situation that, you know, with the results that he's seeing, that he is getting those results that are needed.
Well, I'll tell you what, we got to get out of here, but I don't know what you're doing, Sean. I know I'm going to go watch some lacrosse. Otterbein's playing Wittenberg, and we'll see you guys all next week. Everybody behave yourselves and go see some lacrosse.